Let it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real. Whatsoever you do for Jesus, let it be real. Let it be real. When you pray,
you say,
oh, when you pray, oh Lordy, whatsoever you do for Jesus, yes, ah, when you sing, oh, when you sing, Lord Jesus, whatsoever you do, you ought to let it be real. Ah, when you praise, oh, when you oh Lord, whatsoever you do for my Lord, yeah, come on, help me now. Oh, let it be real. Oh, let it be real. Whatsoever you do for Jesus, yeah, oh, let it be real. Let it be real. Lord, oh, yeah. With it for Jesus, let it be real, let it. Come on, let's give God some praise in this house. There's a word for us in the book of Acts, chapter 11. Acts, chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. Will serve as our preaching material for a little while. Acts chapter 11, verse 22 through 26 says that news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. From this text, I want to spend at least a couple of weeks, more probably a few weeks, talking about this question. What kind of legacy are you developing? What kind of legacy are you developing? As I read this text with my preaching glasses on, I was impressed by the legacy of Barnabas. Verse 24 kind of got this thing started, where it says he was a good man. And then I backed up to verse 22 and took my time and walked down to verse 26 and found at least 8 to 9 qualities about Barnabas. And y'all know Barnabas is dead, right? Yeah. So when it describes him, they're really describing the legacy that he left behind. And I said, man, that's beautiful. I wish we had some more people like Barnabas around today. And then I asked myself, well, why don't we? Everybody in the room can leave a legacy behind that inspires others to run on a little further. And therefore, I thought I would come and challenge you and I, because I trust this does not surprise you. I hope this is not a news flash. Y'all know we're gonna leave here? Everybody in the room got a date with death. You're not gonna be here always. The question becomes, when you and I go away from here, what will people be able to truthfully say about us? Now, chances are, if we come to the service, somebody gonna get up and say something nice. But if we told the truth, all of the nice things we've heard at homegoing services, some of that stuff was not earned. Some people just felt like I ought to say something nice about the person. The question is not what will people say, but what can they truthfully say about you and me? And perhaps, no perhaps in it, definitely more important than what people say about us is what does God know about us? Because you know there's going to be a great getting up morning, and you and I are going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account of how we've lived, which is just another way of talking about giving account of the legacy we have developed and we have left behind. And therefore, I'm trying to unpack this thesis in this series of messages. We should live like we want our legacy to read. We should live like we want our legacy to read. I would recommend a book by Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. The early part of that book, he talks about doing an exercise where you imagine a funeral going on, and then you discover it is your funeral. And he asks you to imagine what would you want significant people in your life to be able to say about you? What would you want your spouse to be able to say, your children to be able to say, members of your church, people in your community, folk on your job? What would you want people to be able to say at your homegoing service? And then the challenge then is to live your life in such a way that people will be able to say what you want them to say at the end of your journey. Marvelous book. First thing I want to talk about is, let's make sure we're clear about legacy. Let's make sure we're clear about legacy. When I use the term, I'm talking about the reputation of someone who is deceased. If the person was alive, I'd be talking about their reputation. When the person dies, I call their reputation legacy. That's how I'm using the term. This is the first thing I want to say about legacy. I want to talk about inherited legacies. Listen to this statement. As recipients of inspiring legacies, we should strive to leave inspiring legacies. want you to just think this through now. You and I are benefactors. We have received inspiring legacies. Now, whether you are inspired by them or not is on you. But if you just sit still and think a little bit, there's somebody in your life who has lived in such a way that you ought to be inspired to try to do something with your life. Mm-hmm. When I think about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., preacher, pastor, author, activist, organizational leader, I am inspired to make sure I never get comfortable just maintaining a worship center that gathers for a couple of hours of religious escapism on Sunday morning. It is an embarrassment to the history of the black church for us to reduce it to nothing but a two-hour drive-by situation on Sunday. From the genesis of our experience, we've understood that God wanted to do a marvelous work, not up in heaven, but down here on earth, through those who call on his precious name. Are y'all listening to me? I've inherited the legacy of my father, his tenacious work ethic, his love of people, his ability to take meager fare and do outstanding, unignorable work in this city, inspires me to move past complaining and describing problems. At some point, you just got to do the best you can with what you have. Are y'all listening to me? I'm trying to paint for you that I am the recipient of legacies. And because I have received, I'm duty bound to pass on. It is a relay run going on. I'm reading also Anthony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant Within, and he talks about metaphors. What pictures do you have of your life? And I'm not sure I like the language of a race. Race means somebody got to win, somebody got to lose. There's competition in race. What I loved about the flying pig was I wasn't in the 10K race. I was in the 10K run. And perhaps a good metaphor of life is it is a relay run. Not competing against anybody, but when I get the baton, I owe it to those who ran before me to do the best I can and then pass it to the person that's coming along behind me. When you and I received inspiring legacy, it was not free. The expectation has always been that you would receive and pass it on. Are you inspired by anybody? Perhaps it's by Sister Rosa Parks, and I urge you to sit with her biography from time to time. We all know her as the woman who would not give up her seat. But that's not where the biography starts. You ought to back up and see what a quote-unquote ordinary person she was. First of all, did you ever think about the fact she was on the bus? She wasn't driving her car. She was on the bus. That's an indication that she was working class situation, that she did not have much college education. As my recollection is correct, she was a seamstress. She worked on clothes. She was a secretary for the local unit of the NAACP. If it was not for that day, I'm not sure we would have ever been calling Rosa Parks' name. But because she put her ordinary self in the hands of an extraordinary God, decades after the event and years after her death, we talk about how she sat down so Barack Obama could stand up. Does she inspire you? Because some of us think that because I don't have a college education, because I don't have middle class status, because I don't have this, then God can't do anything with me. When you look at Rosa Parks, you ought to be inspired to know, well, my Lord, if God can use her, then God can use me. Is it anybody who inspires you. I want you to know that they did not live those lives so we can be underachievers. They did not live those lives and leave those legacies so we can just get by as best we can. I am not sure that our foreparents would appreciate what some have done with their legacy. It was bad enough to see young men embarrass me by walking down the street with their pants hanging off their behind. That was bad enough. But now I see girls walking around sagging. They want to show I'm just as, I'm looking for a better word than that. That wasn't a good pulpit word. They wanted to show I'm just as cool as the boys are, right? That really wasn't the word I wanted to use, Tony. I'm sure that those people didn't have dogs sicked on them and fire hydrants turned on them so our young people could be walking down the street sagging. It insults the legacy when you drop the baton on foolishness. It'd be something different if somebody came and slapped the baton out your hand. But my God, you can't just throw the baton on the ground. Don't you see all of these folk who sacrificed so you can run your lap? Don't you see all these people in front of you that want to run their lap and they're just waiting for the baton and you spit on their contribution? When we think about the apathy, and I'm going to get off of this road because I really want to leave in a much more positive state of mind. But when you think about the apathy that so many people have developed as the Lord has blessed you to get two loaves of bread, it's interesting to me as an average student of history, when we had less, we did more for our fellow man. But it looked like the more we get, the less we do for those who are around us. So when we only had two cups of sugar, we was free to give a cup of sugar to our neighbor. Now that we got a 5-pound bag of sugar in the pantry, the container is full of sugar, you got sugar on the table, now we can't even let somebody have a cup of sugar. When we had to scrape bus fare together to try to get the work, we would share. But now that we have two cars, I can't let them drive that one. I don't know if the insurance covered them, and I don't feel like driving them. This apathy was not inherited by our legacy. We have developed a malice along the way. There's a virus in our spirit. We did not inherit this spirit of it's me, myself, and I. Let others get theirs as best they can. Our legacy says we are our brother's keepers. And the more in tune you are with what you have received, the more duty bound you are to feel to pass on an inspiring legacy. That was the first thing I wanted to say. Here's the second thing I want to say about legacy. I'm talking about judgment seat of Christ now. Judgment seat of Christ. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16 stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16. There are some people who think no one has inspired them. I'm my own man, I'm my own woman. I put myself up by my bootstraps. I did it my way. And I'm really not all that interested about inspiring anybody else. If they get inspired, that's on them. But hey, do what you want to do. Do what you feel. They're not inspired by all of this horizontal human-to-human stuff. Well, let me tell you about this vertical situation, this human-to-God stuff. We with our saved selves, and I assume I'm talking to a saved crowd. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. But even when we get saved, there's still going to be a judgment seat of Christ. Don't get this twisted with the great white throne judgment in Revelation. I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. This is where saved people are going to have to stand and give an account of how have you lived your life since you've been saved. Y'all know the story. Some will have gold, silver, precious stone. Others will have wood, hay, and stubble. When you look at your life, what are you developing? Is it gold or is it just a bunch of stubble? Can I help you think along this line? Just coming to church is not gold. Just looking good in church is not gold. It's really about what do you do after church that puts you in the gold category. Are you helping anybody get saved? I know you can't get everybody saved. I asked you, did you get anybody saved? Have you tried to help somebody get right with God? When you look at how God has blessed you, are you conscious of the fact there's a need for economic empowerment ministry? Are you conscious of the fact there's a need for community ministry? You can't do all of the ministry in here 2 hours on Sunday with church clothes on. Our best work is done outside of this building with those who perhaps feel intimidated by this huge, beautiful building that God is trusting us with. When judgment comes and you and I have to stand before the Lord, what do we have going for us? Is it gold? Or is it just a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble that's burned up? Here's this third thing, and I'm going to talk about Barnabas. This third issue here then is current living. So I talked about inherited legacy, judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about current living right now. Listen to this. Those of you who come to homegoing services know this statement. I've said it 1,001 times. We should live the way we want to be remembered, because people will remember the way we live. I want you to get this in your spirit. Whether you're conscious of it or not, you and I are developing a legacy right now. Right here, right now. I'm developing a legacy. When that boy, Deanna's son, got up here and had his little chain around his neck and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What was he saying? He's saying, Pastor, you are building a legacy into my spirit. When folks see the work that you are rendering around this church, you are leaving a legacy. And you know, I don't think we're all conscious of the legacy we are leaving. There's no such thing, I'm not leaving a legacy. You are leaving a legacy. Now, some are leaving a legacy of doing nothing, a legacy of being a bump on the log, but it's a legacy. Are y'all listening to me? You ought to want to leave a legacy. You ought to at least want to meet the Lord with something positive on your list. And you know, I don't want, and you know, the Lord is blessed as you pastor folk in various stages of their life. If you got any sense, you try to learn something from them. You don't just pastor them and let them go on. You try to learn some stuff. And I'm learning it's some folk I don't want to be like. You know, you look at some people and they say, when I grow up, I want to be just like that. And then you look at some other folks and say, no, no, I don't want to be like that. You all know longevity doesn't run in my family, but if the Lord ever let me get old, I want to learn how to be a gentle spirit, encouraging spirit. I want somebody to be able to say he was old, but he always was encouraging them young people. I don't want folk to be able to rightly say he was old and grumpy. Ooh, he was difficult to be around. That's a terrible legacy. Especially when the chief commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. How you get old and grumpy? You ought to get old and loving. Now I know if you're grumpy, it's hard to say amen to this. So you ought to just act like you understand what I'm talking about, so folk won't know I'm talking about you. When I think about legacy, I was sitting in my study trying to get my little manuscript out of my mind and heart on paper. And two people came to mind. There are many others who could have came to mind, but the manuscript was getting kind of long, and I knew our attention span would be kind of fading. But here are two that I want to share with you. Deacon John Ibram. Perhaps you all don't even know who I'm talking about. This is a gentleman who drives around here. I call it his little Cadillac. He got a motorized wheelchair. He sits in the back in the 1045 service. Sometime he come down here, be running into people with his wheelchair, and he just bag up and go on about his business. His body has abandoned him. Health has not been his lot in life since I've been here. He was sick when I got here. He seems to be getting sicker as the days turn to weeks and as weeks turn to months. But he still does what he can with what he has to work with. He goes to prison when he can. He helps when he can. If you take a minute with him, it's gonna take him a minute to get it out, but he got some words of encouragement. Now you would think anybody sitting in a wheelchair all day and people always running above you, you would think that when you spend a minute with him, you would think he'd be complaining about how bad it is. No, no, no. Spend a minute with Deke and you'll find out he's rarely complaining about his situation. He want to shake your hand and he still got kind of a grip on his hand. He talk about the Lord is good. What a marvelous legacy that even though my body gave up on me, my spirit never gave up on God. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And then there was another guy who came to mind, because we're always bragging on the women. I want you to know the Lord has blessed us with some good men. The other guy who came to mind was Deacon Hubert Givens. If I gave Givens this mic and said, Deke, I want you to come up here and give me about a 10-minute Sunday school review. I want you to look over the Sunday school lesson, and I want you to just share with the people about 10 minutes some of the highlights of the Sunday school lesson. Deacon Givens would faint right here on the floor. You had to go get some smelling salt, some water. You had to go catch Deke. Deke would find something to do. He'd be gone. He wouldn't be up here trying to talk. He would faint on you. But this is where you'll find him at. Go find the mop bucket and see what needs to be cleaned up around here. You got to remind Deacon Givens, Deke, you a deacon. He said, I know I'm a deacon. That means I'm a servant. Deke be going around here mopping up the floor. I saw Deke around here one day sweating. It was hot outside, and he was sweating. I'm like, Deke, what in the world you been doing around here? He had went and cut the weeds down in the parking lot. And I said, man, you cut all that stuff down? You and who else? He said, I just did it all by myself. Now, me and my crazy self thinking, since I paid two full-time janitors, maybe the janitor should have been out there doing it. Deke said, no, 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 I got this. This is my church. I see what needs to be done. I'm going out here, and I'm going to cut this stuff down because I'm tired of looking at it. What a legacy. It's hard to think about serving. It's hard to think about ministry of help without a picture of Deacon Givens coming to mind. Givens is not in the best of health. His foot, knee, hip, something always wrong with him. But when it's time to go out here and walk in this community, Deacon Givens just hop along with us, passing out the literature. What a legacy. And more important than how long we will remember these men in our mind, the preacher came by to tell you, God will remember. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord remembers what folk have forgotten. I think you know what I mean when I say legacy now. Now bring your mind over here to the legacy of Barnabas. With those thoughts in mind, let's look at Barnabas. I only got time to talk about one thing I see in Barnabas' life today. The very first thing in the order that they are presented is I noticed that Barnabas was sendable. Somebody say sendable. Yeah, that's verse 22 stuff. It says, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. They sent him, is my way of saying he was sendable. Don't be trying to find that in Webster Dictionary. That's in the Baines Dictionary, sendable. Now, this sounds like it's so elementary. What? How in the world are you going to make a whole preaching point out of being sendable? Well, when you look at how difficult it is to find sendable people in our church today, you find why we need to preach about this point. There is so much around our church. We don't have to be ambitious. We don't have to dream. We're just trying to fill gaps where we need people that we can send. Many people have not even noticed that this camera that we have on the floor is not out here on today. We need people we can send to man the media equipment. Yeah. We need people that we can send to drive the van. We are thankful that we have vans, but it's hard to find van drivers. And it would be acceptable if folk just didn't know how to drive. But you can't have a parking lot full of cars. All these people came up here, one person per car. But we can't find nobody to go drive the van. With all of these driving licenses in here, nobody should have to drive more than once a month. I think y'all want to back up to Legacy. Let's talk about Rosa Parks or somebody. Look like y'all done turned the channel on me. We need to send somebody to put our men's ministry back online. How are we over 90 years old and can't keep a strong men's ministry, women's ministry in place? With all this diabetes, hypertension, cancer, MS, and some of everything floating around here, why we can't have a strong health ministry in our church? With all of these marriages around here, why we can't have a strong marriage enrichment ministry? The answer may be, we don't have anybody we can send to do the work. And you know, in order for somebody to send you, you got to have some skills or competency, and then you need to have the will or character. I've learned that skills is pretty easy to develop. Training union and coaching will help you be empowered to do what you need to do. Nothing around here is rocket science. Nothing around here is hard. If you can balance your checkbook, you can balance the church's checkbook. Just some more checks, put a couple of zeros next to the numbers, it's about the same thing. You pay Duke, we pay Duke. You pay phone bill, we pay phone bill. If your roof leak, you call somebody to fix the roof. When our roof leak, we call somebody to fix the roof. Nothing around here is rocket science. You can be taught, trained, and coached to use the skill set, develop the skill set that you need. That's not the hardest part. The hardest part is finding folk who have the will and the character to be sent to do a work for the Lord. And I've learned that there are at least a number of things that seems to be obstructing our willingness to serve. One of the things seems to be that we lack submissiveness, obedience to human authority. It's almost as if we're ignorant of Hebrews 13:17 that says, obey those that have rule over you, for they watch after your soul. I was trying to figure out what else could I talk about in this area. And y'all, what came to mind was, y'all remember when Moses led them people down to the Red Sea? Pharaoh was on their tail and they had to get across this Red Sea so they would not get beat up by Pharaoh. Do you know some of us would have got beat up by Pharaoh because we would have wanted to have a meeting? It's time to go over the red. Somebody would say, why you say it like that? I don't like the way you talking to me. I'm grown just like you grown. Why you telling me we got to go over the Red Sea? Why we can't go over this rock? Why we can't go back? Some of folk would have drowned in the Red Sea just because you can't follow leadership. Preach, Pastor. Here's the second thing that keeps us from being sendable. It's a lack of trustworthy track record. We can't trust you. There are those who have a history of saying yes, but doing no. And you know, this didn't just start. Listen to this passage of scripture. This is Matthew 21, 28 through 32. Act like y'all writing this down. Matthew 21, 28 through 32. It says, what do you think? There was a man, Jesus is speaking. There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later, he changed his mind and went. Verse 30. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Listen to the question. Which of the two did what his father wanted? Even the Pharisees had enough sense to answer. It was the first. It was a person who did what they said they were going to do. You can't trust a person who keeps saying, I'm going to do it, but never do it. Now, some of y'all sitting there acting like, well, that just don't describe me. This church covenant that we read every first Sunday, where we talk about we're going to diligently study the Word of God. How do you read that and never come to Bible study? Never come to Sunday school. We're going to seek the salvation of our kindred and our acquaintances, and yet you resist trying to learn four little statements that kindergarten kids are learning, trying to lead people to Christ. We're going to aim for the advancement of this church in knowledge and holiness. You can't help the church grow in knowledge and holiness, and you're not trying to grow in your personal knowledge and holiness. So we say the right thing, but we don't do the right thing. Therefore, we can't trust you to send you on divine assignment. Then there are others who say yes. They start off well, but then the devil get into them. They start off right, and then somewhere along the line, they have a meeting with somebody else, and they decide, I want to do my own thing. And the danger with that is there's only one body of Christ. Now, if you could just go do your own thing, and you was the only person impacted by it, that'd be fine. But when we are in this thing together, whatever you do impacts the whole body. My hand can't say, I'm going on vacation. The hand is connected to the whole body. When the eyes say, I don't feel like seeing, that means the whole body is blind. We're in this thing together. I told you about apathy. Some people can't be sent because they just don't care enough to go. There are some people, we say, well, listen, we need some help with our young people. And what it comes down to, I don't care enough to go down there and work with those devilish kids. We need some help with voter registration. We're coming up on election. I don't care enough to go help nobody get registered. I'm registered. Let them go get registered just like I'm registered. We are like goats on the left side of Jesus. Y'all remember? Jesus said that at the judgment, there'll be some on my right. These are the sheep. They've been kind to the least of those. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. That's the right sheep type people. But on the left, there were some goats. He said, you ignored me when I was hungry. You ignored me when I was naked. When I was in prison, you didn't come see about me. And the goat asked, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry? He said, when you ignored the least of these, you were ignoring me. Yep. And then finally, perhaps fear keeps us from being sendable. There are some who are afraid of what people will say. Perhaps you say to yourself, because I don't have as much education as others, then I can't do certain things. Because I haven't been around long enough, because I don't have the spiritual reputation that others have, then God really can't do much with me. But I remind you, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power, sound mind. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. It's a good thing for you to be afraid to do it by yourself. That keeps you from being arrogant. There are some folk who think they're doing it by themselves, and the Lord got to slap them to get them to see it's really not you, it's me through you. And then, you know, there are some people whose job is to simply be an average link in the chain. I dare you to go back and read the book of Matthew and read the genealogy of Jesus. It's a very boring exercise. You skip over this because you don't know how to pronounce all of the names. But many of those people's claim to fame was very simply this. They were born and they begat somebody else. That person was born and begat somebody else. And if it wasn't for where the chain ended at, we would wonder, why is this in the Bible? But then finally, Joseph begat Jesus. And you know, that might be the situation in your life. It might be there's nothing really heroic going on in your life. It's just God is using you to be a link from where you came from to the next person in line. But if you don't think you got an important part to play, mess around here and break the link. Drop the baton. Don't play your position. You mess up a whole line of recourse. Don't let people intimidate you. You may not have as much formal education, but if you got anointing, God can do much more with anointing than he can with degree. If you're saved and know how to pray, God can do more through you than that joker who think, I don't need to pray. I've already prayed my best prayer. If you put your ordinary self in the hands of our extraordinary God, God can do great things in and through your life. The only issue is, are you sendable? And if you're honest enough to say, well, Reverend, I need some help in this area, I got good news. If we would confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. You still got time to turn this thing around. You don't have to say, well, I just am the way I am. No, you can change. Worse than being unsendable is not repenting from your sin. Well, I close here by telling you that there's other people who are sent in the Bible. Thank God for Barnabas' legacy of being sendable. But y'all remember Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. The question was asked, who will go for us? Who shall we send? And Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Yeah. John chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. Have y'all heard of the Holy Spirit? Anybody heard of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. He was sendable. In John chapter 14, verse 26, the Holy Spirit didn't just get up and come to planet Earth. He was sent by the Father. And then this is my hero. I don't know if y'all heard about him or not, but Jesus. Y'all heard of Jesus? I know y'all know about Gabby and Michael Phelps. I'm talking about Jesus right now. Have you heard of Jesus? He was sendable. Listen to this text, and I'm closing. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Listen, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. Listen, you ought to ask yourself, why is it so difficult for you to be sent to do Christian service. This is not just a matter of what people will say about you, but I promise you, this will be on judgment's test. If God hasn't sent you to be the leader, you're supposed to be the follower. Why can't you follow anybody? It's a terrible reputation. It's a terrible legacy to leave that you couldn't follow anybody. You couldn't follow this pastor. You couldn't follow the previous pastor. You couldn't follow the pastor before him. You couldn't follow the pastor over there. You couldn't follow the pastor down there. In fact, you couldn't follow the people on your job. That's why you moved around so much on your job. You have a followership problem. The problem with this is God sent one leader. If you're not that leader, that means you're a follower. Does your legacy show you have the ability to follow? Because even up in heaven, you're going to have to learn how to follow. You got to learn how to bow down and confess and speak the words that Jesus is Lord. When it's time to take off your golden crown and throw it down at the throne, you're going to have to do that on cue. Ain't going to be no church meeting. You can't get up talking about, I move that we delay the throwing down of the crown and wait for somebody to second the motion. That garbage don't exist in glory. You need to check your legacy, because before you know it, they'll be writing your obituary and mine. And more important than our obituary is you and I will be standing before the Lord giving account of our lives before we know it. And here's a good thing. Today, we got time to work on it. You can tweak it. If you're deficit in one area, you can put some extra stuff over here. If you're messing up something over here, you can stop doing that. You got time to work on it today. But when you and I are standing before the Lord, you can't tell the Lord, wait a minute, let me go back and fix it. You don't get no do-over. This is the time to be doing it over. And I pray and trust that as we look at Barnabas, I think you're going to find him impressive. But more important than Barnabas being impressive to us, the question is, are you working on you? Because when you get before judgment, the Lord not going to be asking you about Barnabas. The Lord going to be asking you about you. Sendable is going to be on the list. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, what a marvelous day to come and say, yes, Lord. The door